I've been working this week on a message for this morning. Last night, finished putting together the overhead and the outline for you. Going back and making some notes. Then this morning, while I was getting ready to come to church, the Lord changed all of that, and that's why your piece of paper is blank. Because I didn't have time to get anything written out for you. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Everybody in the room who has something going on in your life that you would define as something I am worried about. Now, that's the word I want to use, worried about. And please hear me. Let's not say, well, I'm not going to raise my hand. You know, I'm a Christian and I don't worry about anything. You take that somewhere else. Okay? Check your religion at the door. Alrighty? And let's talk about where we really live. Alrighty? Everyone in the room who has something in your life that you would say, yes, I have something going on right now in my life that I am worried about, raise your hand, hold it up. Okay, put it back down. That's almost 100% of us. So let's talk about that subject for a moment. So if those of you taking outlines, you can put on the top of there, worry. You know, we pass on to our children and to our families certain traditions. Today is Quentin's fourth birthday. We're going to his little birthday party this afternoon. But we have these traditions or things that we do that may be unique to our particular family. And I'm not talking about our family as in my family, but in our families that we pass on to our children. One of the things that I'm grateful for is my mother taught me how to fix something that in our house we called gray horse. Anybody know what gray horse is? It's Karo syrup with butter. Now, whatever, yeah, and you put it on a biscuit. Now, whatever it is you call it at your house, we call it gray horse at our house. And when my children were younger, I used to fix it whenever we would have biscuits, and I'd set one child on one side and one child on the other because they both loved it. And I would say to them, now we're going to share. Okay? So Daddy would take one and he'd take a bite and he'd go one for Daddy, one for Tripp. One for Daddy, one for Rebecca. And I hated it when they grew up enough that they caught on to what was happening there. But that was a wonderful, that, you know, my children now eat gray horse because my mother taught me to eat it. We have a cookie at our house that's made every year at Christmas time. It's made out of saltines, peanut butter, and marshmallows. Okay, well, at Mother's house it's called Mom's Special. At our house it's called something else, but I'm not going to tell you what it is we call it. But nonetheless, it's a wonderful cookie that we make every year at Christmas time, and I mean all the children just love them, and you know. There's another tradition we have at every year at Christmas. You have to, I don't know how many of you know this, it's probably in the Bible somewhere, but every year on Christmas morning you have to have tenderloin for breakfast on Christmas morning. Now, I'm sure that's in the Bible somewhere, but it's just one of those traditional things. We've done it for years and years and years. And I'll tell you, you take a tenderloin, stick it between some of my mother's biscuits, and it'll make you want to testify in church. I mean, it is good stuff. When we were children, my daddy used to tell us this story. And of course, he would make it bigger than I'm going to tell you this morning because the story is not the object I'm after. I'm just trying to share with you some things. But there's this story that goes, it was a dark and stormy night. And the captain came in. And the captain said, howdy, boys. And the boys said, howdy, captain. And the boys said, tell us a story, captain. And the captain would say, it was a dark and stormy night. And the captain came in. And the captain said, "Howdy, boys." And the boys said, "Howdy, Captain. Tell us a story, Captain." And the captain said, "It was a dark and stormy night." "Well, if you beef that story up, children will sit and listen to that story as long as you'll tell it and not realize they are hearing the same story over and over again." But the story and the tradition I want to get to is this one. My dad told me a story. Of course, I beefed it up some because, you know, it's 40 years later. And so times have changed. But my dad used to tell us this story, or told us this story. One time there was a man walking in the woods. And he found this little creature that he had never seen before. And for the sake of our story, we'll call him Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones finds this creature in the woods that he had never seen before. And he picked it up, and it was almost like it didn't weigh anything at all. It was just real light. And so Mr. Jones called his new pet an Airy. And he took his Airy home, and he looked it up in the encyclopedia, and he couldn't find anything that looked like it. And he searched all over the web. And, of course, 40 years ago when Dave was telling the story, there was no web. But nonetheless, searched all over the web, you know, couldn't find anything that resembled his new Airy. So he thought to himself, "What in the world am I going to feed this thing?" So he just started setting down all different kinds of food, and come to find out, this Airy would eat anything. Whatever it is you put in front of it, it would eat it. The problem was, is that every time it ate, you could almost visibly see it get bigger. And so it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so Mr. Jones started cutting back on what he was feeding his Airy. But it seemed like that even when he cut back on the food, you could almost see this Airy grow and grow and grow. And all of a sudden, over a few months' time, this Airy got so large that it became unmanageable. So he thought, "I got to do away with this thing." So he starts trying to feed it some poison, and he'd feed it poison, and it would just get bigger. And everything he tried to do, everything he gave it, it just got bigger and bigger. And he asked his friends, he said, "Man, I got to get rid of this Airy. What in the world am I going to do?" And people gave him all kinds of suggestions. He'd try everything, and every time he tried something, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. One day somebody suggested to him that he take this Airy to the top of the highest mountain he could find and tip it over the side and see if that would get rid of it. So Mr. Jones took his Airy and he went to the highest mountain he could find. He tipped the Airy over the side, and sure enough, when the Airy fell, hit the bottom, it destroyed the Airy. He came back down the mountain, and one of his friends said to him, said, "Mr. Jones, you sure went through an awful lot to get rid of that Airy, didn't you?" And Mr. Jones said, "Yeah, but you know, it's a long ways to tip an Airy." Boo! I tell you that story for this reason. Yeah, long way around. Long introduction, short sermon. As we're walking along, we pick up worry. And you know, it'll eat anything. It'll eat anything. And when you stop feeding it, it still continues to grow. And it's not a big thing when we find it. But it sure doesn't take long for it to get big fast, does it? And then all of a sudden it becomes slightly unmanageable, and so we start trying to see what we can do to manage it. And then it doesn't take very long and it becomes totally unmanageable. But it's almost like the more you do to try to destroy it, the stronger it gets. Worry will feed on itself. It's the only thing I know of that can consume itself and be bigger as a result of it. And there are lots of things that we find as we go along to worry about. Ladies and gentlemen, our problems come from three sources. Source number one is the world. We live in a wicked system. And sometimes, not due to any fault of our own, just simply the environment in which we live in. And I'm not talking about an environment of just this room or just your house or just your situation, but the environment in which the world is in. Being as corrupt as it is, sometimes there are things that we worry about. The second place where we find things to worry about is the fruit from the seed we've sown.
Goodbye.
Hey, I heard it this morning. Now you're getting it. I heard it and was writing it down as hard as I could on this pad right here. Sometimes the second place where we find things to worry about is the fruit of the seeds we've sown ourselves. That just simply the things we've done. Einstein said, for every action, there's a reaction. And sometimes the things we're doing over here cause us to have things we worry about over here. And third source of things to worry about is the devil. Now, what we as believers like to do is we like to go to the third first. See, that's the easiest place for us to go. Well, I'm under such attack. The devil's all over me. Well, let me just tell you something. You're really not that important to him. You're only important to you. And you're important to Jesus. But you're not that important to the devil in the overall scheme of things he's got to worry about today. Somehow or another, I just don't imagine on his to-do list for Monday, it says, get Don Hall first. He'll get to me as the day wears on, I promise you. But I'm just not that important. But somehow we think of ourselves as being so important. I'm just under such an attack. And now, hear me please. Sometimes we really are. Okay? But what we need to do is we need to look at the bigger picture. Am I going through or am I worried about, am I concerned about something that is just something that happens? It's like, and I imagine you're sick as hearing about this as I am. It's kind of like 911. You know, I'm not going to refuse to get in an elevator that takes me more than three stories high because I'm worried about a plane at the building I'm in. You know, I mean, we live in, I'm not going to not go to the post office because I'm worried about some sort. I'm more worried about a white powder you stick up your nose intentionally than I am about a white powder I'll pick up at the post office. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worried about it for me, but I'm worried about it for those I love. But I'm not going to live my life in fear and worry about things I have just don't have any control over. You know? I'm going to let Bush worry about Osama, and I'm going to worry about Don. Sometimes we want to blame the devil for our mistakes. The seeds we've sown, the fruit we're picking is from the seeds we've sown, but we want to blame the devil. Please remember that the first thing Adam said when sin entered his life was, it's not my fault. First words out of his mouth when sin entered his heart was, not my fault. And to show you how wicked sin is, the first place he pointed his finger was, who was it? God. The woman you gave me. See, that's how hideous sin is. It blames God for its own mistakes. And sometimes what we like to do, because we don't want to blame God, we just blame the devil for our mistakes. What I'm trying to do is get you to open your eyes and look at a bigger picture. The worries you have can come from one of three places: the world, your own fruit, or it can come from an attack from the enemy. But don't just assume that because number three is the most comfortable for you, that that's where it is. Sure is quiet in here. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every body blow that I take from one of those three places, that I immediately just jump right back up and go, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm sitting here with my hand raised too. I have some things I'm worried about. For the last 2 weeks, I've been pinning my hopes on a position that I was negotiating with my company about, and they called me Friday and said, negotiations are over, the answer's no. And it sent my world into a tailspin. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Check your religion at the door, okay? When we take a body blow from the enemy or from the world or from our own fruit, the worst thing you could do is be dishonest with yourself about how you feel.
Look at me. I'm not worried. I'm lying, but I ain't worrying.
You see what I'm saying? Because we're never going to get well lest we are first honest with ourselves. First thing I did after hanging up the phone with my boss was called my wife. You know what the first question she asked me was? How you feel? How many of you know to a man that's the worst question you can ask him? But I was honest with her. I don't know. What'd I say? It'll take me about 48 hours. I'll get there. See, I deal with so many other things first. It takes a while for the emotions to get up to where I really do understand how I feel. Now, if she had said, what do you think? I could have answered that question. But that ain't what she asked me. She didn't ask me, what do you think? She said, how you feel? I said, I don't know. Give me 48 hours. I'll tell you how I feel. But what I'm thinking is, I'm going to do this, do that, is, I took that body blow, it took me into a tailspin. See, I don't know how I feel because I pulled my defensive mechanisms around me. But you see, why are you telling us this? Because we all do the identical same thing, and if we don't recognize what it is we're doing, we're never going to get better. Sometimes one of these three places, we catch a blow we didn't see coming. Hits us right on the end of our chin, and all of a sudden we see stars. When you're seeing stars, don't say you're not. Say, I see stars, but I know who holds the stars. But don't lie to yourself, and don't lie to God. Somehow or another, we think that if we admit that we're mad about something, that it shows a lack of faith on our part. Well, let's suppose it does. My faith is not fully mature. And anybody who wants to sit and say, well, mine is, you can come right on up here and have a stool. Or actually, you can't, because you'd be lying. My faith is not going to be fully mature this side of eternity. See, I'm sticking here for a minute because I used to feel this way myself. I used to think that whatever happened, I had to be the strong one.
I had to be the one who has the faith to help carry you through this.
See? And all the time, spiritually, I'm bleeding all over. But that's okay because everybody else is well, bless God. And that is not the ministry Jesus called us to. That ain't it. He said, I bled for you. You don't need to bleed for them. Because I'm going to tell you something. My blood can't heal you. It cannot heal you. We need to be honest. If you're mad, God, this really makes me mad. Because once we confess that, then God can begin to deal with that. But as long as we're going, I'm not mad. Anybody got an aspirin? Because our jaw is so tense that our head is hurting because I'm a man. Then God can't deal with us. He has to back up and get us to be honest with ourselves so we can be honest with Him so that He can then give us honest answers so that we can get well. Hello? Okay. Well, be quiet then. That's fine. You know, we sit and we say, God, use me. Then God begins to use us and we come out and we say, God, I feel so used. And He's going, what do you want? Well, this week, I've said that to you before. This week, God gave me a new one. Example out of my own life. I'm praying, God, shut all doors you don't want me to go through. So what does He do? He slams the door and I go, oh God, the door closed. He says, what do you want me to do? You ask me to do something, I do it, and then you holler about what I did. Don't we? Oh God, only leave open where you want me to go, God. Doesn't that sound so good? Oh yeah. You know, my religion loves that stuff. Let me make sure you understand me too, because words are important, aren't they, right? Words are important. When I say to you religion, please hear me that I do not put Christianity in that category. Christianity is not a religion. Now, they may teach it in religion classes, but Christianity is not a religion. What is it? Christianity is a relationship. Okay? So when I tell you to check your religion at the door, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about Christianity. Oh, God. You know, my religion rises up and says, I want to hold your hand. I want to go where you lead me. But all the time I'm going, and I want you to lead me right over here. And when He slams the door shut, I get my feelings hurt. Okay, that was all my introduction. You ready for the sermon now? How do I not worry? I knew, I'm not going to bring you this far and not take you the rest of the way. How do I not worry? Well, wouldn't it be great if the answers are simple and easy? But you know what? The truth of the matter is the answers are simple and they are easy. Answer number one. How do I not worry? Number one, work hard. Do what? Work hard. Don't expect something for nothing. If you're sitting home wondering where the next meal's coming from, but you're not willing to work, go hungry. Hello? That's exactly what Scripture says. Work hard. Give all you can give, and God will make up the difference. Now, if you're doing all you can do and you still got some things to worry about, then we're going to get to some... We're going to get to two more solutions, okay? This is not the only one. But I started to say most or a lot, and that's really not true. But there are some believers who want to do nothing and they want God to do everything. God says, hey, I've done everything. I've formed you in the womb. I've breathed life into you, and I'm letting you live. Now get up off your wrist, my door sign, and go do something. Remember when PTL opened? There were people who were going down there in their campers, sold their cars, sold their houses, sold their land, bought a camper, went to PTL, sat down on the campground and said, God's going to use me in the ministry. You know what my daddy told me? He said, son, if you'll go back and look at all 12 disciples, every one of them was called was busy doing something else. That's what my daddy told me. He said, you just work. And when God's ready to call you, He can find you. That's why from the time I was about, well, I had my first job when I was real, real young, but from about 18 to 25, I changed jobs every 6 months. Because I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. So as soon as the new wore off, I went and found something new to do. But I knew that I had a call in my life. But God's not going to let me sit at home and He's going to bring the call to me. He expects me to get up and whatsoever my hands find to do, I am to do that as unto the Lord. And when He's ready, He'll find me. How many of you know He knows where I am? How many of you know He knows where you are? David said, I will not give to the Lord that which has cost me nothing. But that's what we want. We want to get something for nothing and then give it to the Lord. Look what I brought you. He goes, where'd you get that from? It's the gift that counts, Lord. And we're only laughing because we know it's true. We're all laughing because it hurts. There are some things we're worrying about that our energy would be better spent doing something about it than sitting around letting that airy grow on us. How do we stop worrying? Number two. Number one, work hard. Number two, pray hard. Pray hard. You know, guys, generically speaking, I used to love to watch Sugar Ray Leonard box. And that guy could fight. And used to love to watch Muhammad Ali box, too. Do you know that they would get in the ring and take the pounding? Make $1 million. And their wife, without a bruise on her, goes to the bank and gets suspended. She's what you call more than a conqueror. She was a smart one. He's the conqueror. She's the more than. Jesus has taken your beating at a place called Calvary. If every time the enemy gives you something to worry about, you take that worry to the bank, you defeat the enemy. How often do you think the devil's going to whisper in your ear to worry about something if every time you worry about something, you're going to be praying about it? How many times do you think he's going to provoke you to pray? That's how we become more than conquerors in Christ. By using the things that the enemy wants to cause us harm with and using them as a reminder that here's something else I need to talk to Jesus about. You know, I can't remember all day long until the next time I see my serviceman who's employed by me to remember him, to remember to tell him everything he needs to do. So I got a pad with his name at the top. And during the day, as things pass my mind, oh yeah, I meant to get him to do this, I write it down. That way when he comes in first thing in the morning, I'm not standing around going, and what was it I had for you? Because I'm constantly being reminded. We're in the King's service. And we need to take the things that the enemy throws at us and make ourselves a little list and just take them to Jesus. Say, here you go, Lord. Which leads me to point number three. Oh, wait a minute. No. Back to point number two because I just heard this. I just heard this today for the first time. Okay? As far as I know. Now, I may have heard it before and it never exploded inside of me, but I heard this for the first time, I think, this morning. Okay? We need to take that list to the Lord and not say, Lord, take this from me. But we need to say, Lord, I give this to you. Now, what is the difference in that? This was so exciting this morning when I heard this. If I say, Frank, take this from me. What am I? Just the word in itself means I don't really want you to have it. The inference is, Lord, Frank, take this if you can. But if I say, Frank, I want to give you this. That means I really want him to have it. See, what we do is we pray and we say, God, take this from me. And that's exactly what we mean. We mean, I don't really want you to have it. But it's killing me, but I don't want to let it go. Come down here and wrestle with me, God. You just need to remember that when He finishes wrestling with you and the sun starts to come up, He pops you on your thigh. Do you know why He hits you on your thigh? Because there's more flesh mass in your thigh than anywhere else on your body. And when you and God finish wrestling, He's going to hit your flesh the hardest. But see, that's what we say. We say, God, I'm worried about this. Take this worry from me, God. We're saying, God, just hit my flesh just like that. God says, okay. Permission, that's all I was waiting on. When what we should be saying is, Lord, I don't want this anymore. I give it to you. Number three. How do we overcome worry? Number three, do not quit. Never quit. I've not ever been much of a Kenneth Copeland fan, but years ago he sang a song that I picked an expression out of that my wife, if she's heard me say it once, she's heard me say it 1,000 times. I cannot be defeated. You know why? Because I will not quit. Remember that song? I will not be defeated. Because every time you think that you've got me down and I'm not coming back, you better be looking over your shoulder. Because I'm coming back. Don't ever quit working hard. And don't ever quit praying. And when we work hard and when we work hard and when we pray, that doesn't mean it's going to get better right that moment. But it does mean it's going to get better. Hello? It does mean it's going to get better. We don't need to stop trusting and praying and giving and all of the things that we know that we should do right on the brink of our own miracle. I don't even want the Lord to tell me in eternity how many miracles I came right up to and quit at the last moment. I don't even want Him to. I want Him to just erase that piece of information. Just hit the delete key on that one, please. I don't even want to know. But I will not be defeated because I just absolutely will not quit. Pray hard. Give it to the Lord. And I mean, don't hand me this religion either. Well, I've prayed about that. Well, then pray again. Well, how many times should I pray about it? I don't know. How long is it going to worry you? We quit praying about it when it quits worrying us. I like your answer better. We quit praying when we got our answer. But until the answer comes, Keep praying. Keep working. See, I wish it was simple and easy. It is simple and easy, but it is so hard. And all of that is true. I don't remember seeing a hand in the room that wasn't up a moment ago. I'll bet if I were to say, how many of us have something that we're worried about, we'd see 100%. And I'll bet if we said, if you have just one, put your hand down, I bet we'd still have 100%. If we just got two, put your hand down, we might still have 100%. If we've got a half a dozen or less, put your hand down, we might still have 100%. But here's your answer. Having done all that you know to do, pray hard. Work hard. Pray hard. Pray hard. Let me finish by saying this. Because Jesus is going to do something about it. Don't give me this stuff of, well, I hope he does. Well, you can hope he does it what you want. Okay, we can hope for that. You can hope he'll answer the way you want it answered. I'm not going to guarantee that one way or the other. But I give you this guarantee on the authority of God's Word. He's going to answer. I say it. Close the doors. You don't want me to go through. And he said, yes. And he didn't answer it. He didn't close the he closed what I thought was the wrong door. But how many of you know that I am not Jesus' first mistake? Thank you. Me and George, we know that. I am not Jesus' first mistake. He still has a 1,000% batting average. He's been perfect every time. And when I boil it all down, it was what I wanted because it was what was best for me. But I didn't die on any crosses. I didn't shed any blood. And I hadn't set not one person free. But there is somebody who's worthy of all that. And on the authority of His Word, whatever your concern is, He is going to answer. And it will be the right answer. I may have to wrestle to come to the point where I find out it's the right answer, but it was still the right answer. Let's pray. Father, I cover your people with the Holy Spirit. We are indeed, O God, a people whose shoulders are slumped and turned because of our cares and our concerns. But in obedience to your word, O God, we cast all of our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Father, I pray that the words that have been spoken today would, by your Holy Spirit, be burned deep within your children. And that, God, the excitement and the joy as you were speaking to me this morning would be transferred to your people, O God, and set them on fire. Change us into your image. We want to work hard. And we want to pray hard that your kingdom would come in our lives. Lord, I bless your people with a week facing them in your presence. And that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we would be aware of the fellowship of that Holy Spirit every moment of the week that we are about to go into. We give you honor. We give you glory, and we thank you that you are trustworthy to work in each and every situation to bring about what is best. We thank you that you're that kind of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go tip your Aerie.